offering a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Afternoon Satsang. Last week we were not with you live because we were all in the Hillview Stadium, being part of the beautiful and most wonderful presentation of the annual Sports and Cultural Meet. I think Arvind and my other brothers here would agree with me that there was something very, very special about this sports meet, though every year it's so nice. But I don't know, when speaking to a few other people, we felt that it was a much more comprehensive presentation. Everybody felt that the whole offering was so very heartfelt. And maybe because all of us were working on the thing together, we were all there on the ground. Everything adds to that feeling of doing something special for Swami. Even though we were there as part of only the broadcast team, it gave us a feeling of even we were part of the offering, even we were making something, a beautiful offering at Swami's lotus feet. So we were away because of that. But here we are back, and we are also back to continue with the Bhagat Vahini. We stopped at a very, very interesting point, because as we've been going through for many, many months now, the different stories which Sage Sukha is narrating to Parikshit, we are in that part where Sage Sukha himself tells us what is the most important part of the Bhagavatam, the stories of Lord Krishna, and the part which Parikshit himself was so very keen to listen to. But before we progress in what we were discussing and continuing the stories, and probably to share a few of his thoughts on what I was speaking just before I introduced the Bhagavat Vahini Satsang, let's ask Arvind to join all of us. Saram Arvind.
Saram Prem, and yes, this year's sports meet was definitely very special, and one thing that you already mentioned that, but really what was felt was it was not a sports meet wherein the students offer to Bhagwan alone, because it was as if, as you rightly said, even the broadcast team, everybody became part of the sports meet. And really that was so nice, because you know, our video team, the members, they actually went and saw each item as it was being performed during the practice sessions, and they planned out as to in what angles each one of them would look the best. And of course, topping all of that was the availability of the drone camera. That is phenomenal. And you know, the way the drone camera was used inspired all of us, and we have received a little feedback from around the world, around the globe, as to how it enhanced the entire sports meet. What is amazing is the people who came to handle the drones, they themselves were so inspired. They offered it to us at a great discount after that. Mm-hmm. In fact, they said that for the same kind of price, they would love to do it again next year, not with one, but with two drones. Mm-hmm. So you see that spirit of Swami, love and inspiration spread everywhere. And that's why, in fact, we thought after the success of this sports meet, we even have thought that this drone view, that overall overhead view, is something, it's very spiritual also, you know, Prem, because I feel like life, many things when we are in it, very close to it, we miss the grandeur and the significance of it. When we take a step back, go high above and look at a distance, for instance, the drone view of that Anandpur campus student making the entire campus building formation, or the formation of Sai by the students. It is not seen at the ground level. It is not even seen at the dais level. It has to be seen from something like a Hanuman level. It is so such an inspiring spiritual thought as well, because when we stay in Prashantiniliam, when we come to Prashantiniliam, it is definitely a special place, but it feels like it is like any other place with a little special things, because Swami lived here. I feel many times we miss the grandeur, the significance, the magnificence of what is being gifted to us, because we are seeing it possibly from the ground level or from a low level. The moment we are able to elevate ourselves, we are able to open up our minds, open up our hearts, broaden our perspectives, view from a height, you know, in that sense, I think we will be able to see the magnificence and glory. So in that sense, personally, I felt the sports meet also gave a very, very profound message about our lives with Bhagwan and in Prashantiniliam.
Absolutely. And talking about the bird's eye view, probably we should mention about one of our team members who did something which was pretty much like a sports meet stunt and got himself into the Limca Book of Records.
Yes, absolutely.
Very, very proud of mentioning that. I think a few months back we must have mentioned it, that Raghuram Bhatt, one of our colleagues who is already an inspiration to all of us in his own right, he did a skydiving in Mysore.
For those who are not aware, he's quadriplegic.
Right.
He's been paralyzed from below his chest onwards and he has no sensation there. And in spite of that, this is just one of his adventures, because he's always wanting to do things, and he's such a center of positivity, you know, hope. And it's amazing, because I personally feel that anytime I'm complaining about anything in life, all I have to do is just enter the studio and see Raghuram Bhatt and feel that if this person is not complaining about anything, what right have I got to complain about anything? In that sense, it's such an inspiration. And to see him do something that I'm scared of doing, you know, I get scared at such heights. I can't imagine jumping out of a plane with a parachute. And this boy, this person who is quadriplegic, does the same without the slightest trace of fear. And that video is there on YouTube, Prem, to see. The most amazing thing is, you are on top of the world, you are exhilarated, there's that adrenaline rush, you are doing something that's a sort of a record. And, you know, in middle of all that, in the video it's clearly heard, he says, "Thank you, Swami, love you, Swami." It's so amazing, it was so thrilling. It is actually at that point that I got tears in my eyes. I said, "Swami, I also want to love you like this." Because in times of difficulty, when we are low, automatically I think of you, Swami. But in times of high, when everything is going so wonderful and I'm on top of the world, literally and figuratively, do I remember you? It's amazing. It was so inspirational. And so rightly, I feel it is not out of place to mention that a great sports meet stunt which has got him into the Limca Book of Records. This Limca Book of Records is an annual compilation of all the records that have been done in India. So Raghuram Bhatt is possibly the second or the third quadriplegic in the world to do so, but definitely the first in India. He was inspired by a similar quadriplegic who had done it sometime before, who has set up a world record for being the first one to do so. So inspired by that, he did it. And it was amazing. It is fresh in our minds, dear listeners, because just today morning, that book arrived, that record book. And in that, we saw his photograph with a mention. And the name Shri Sathya Sai is also mentioned there, that Raghuram works at the Shri Sathya Sai Radio Sai Center in Puttaparthi.
And absolutely. And going back to the sportsman before we head, When we said we were talking about the broadcasting team being a part of it, but you know, that's the beauty of the sports meet, because the amount of effort which goes in from the side of the staff and the students is really stunning. Of course, you know, students, we can understand, all of them are youngsters, the children from the different primary schools, but the teachers, the amount of effort they put in, be it the primary school teachers or the other school teachers, you know, the age is catching up with many of them. We've seen them, the way they work, probably 15 years back when we were students. They're doing the same amount of work at, you know, under the beating sun. They're still standing there and still marshalling all the little children and making them do things. It's phenomenal. And we're very happy that in many ways, I think a lot of our Radio Sai brothers also participated. In fact, Ganesh and Sai Prasad helped in choreographing some of the dance the school children did. And of course, Anirudh recorded most of the songs done by the for the school drama. And of course, we know Dhananjay is one of their main members for setting up all the things in the stadium. In that way, so many of our brothers have contributed. And that's what makes Sportsmeet special, because the amount of contribution that goes in from Sevadal is phenomenal. You know, we don't get to mention that very often. From getting that whole place ready for that 11th Jan event, and to wind it down, to, you know, give the stadium back to the students so that they can start using it for their games and sports from the next day. That entire duty goes to the Sevadal from Andhra Pradesh, who do a phenomenal job year after year, and probably we don't mention them enough.
It's so inspiring and beautiful, Prem, because whomever you look at, the students, the staff, the Sevadal, everybody who is participating, the common thread is that of selflessness and love. Because what is that you get at the end of it? Even the students who do it, when Swami's was physically present, there was a chance, there was a hope that possibly we get a group photograph with Bhagwan, and that was possibly an enticement. Now even that is not there. It is absolute selflessness in that sense. I mean, you get nothing. You get nothing other than self-satisfaction and joy. You just perform. And even if you, I was surprised, you know, even to this day when we go and see the performance arena, it is not facing the ladies or gents galleries. It's still facing the Shanti Vedika, in which hardly there are about 20-30 people or 40 people seated. But there is that photograph of Bhagwan. It is very amazing, very inspiring and very heart-touching to see that even now, all the children, everybody do it with the same kind of single-minded focus, that is to make Swami happy. And if Swami is happy, that's it. Nothing else matters. As I said, only this time we are glad to, you know, as Radio Sai team, we could actually present the view of all these children performing. How it is visible to Bhagwan on stage, in that manner we could do it thanks to the positioning of the cameraman as well as the drone camera. So really a very, very satisfactory, very fulfilling kind of sports meet, and we hope that it continues like this and builds on more in the years to come.
Having gone through that elaborate introduction, we have to come back to the Bhagwat Vahini and another sport here. Absolutely, there's no regrets, because this is probably the highlight of the Bhagwat Vahini, and you know, Swami would often say that the leelas which Krishna played during the Vrindavan times, when he lived in Vrindavan, when he lived in Mathura, before he left for Mathura, it's supposed to be the most sweetest. I think we mentioned this even a couple of weeks back when we started telling these stories. Where Krishna when Swami told in a discourse during Krishna Janmashtami, he said, there are no parallels to this. The sweetest of sweetest stories are the stories of Lord Krishna. And this is one avatar speaking about another avatar.
And interestingly, the word Leela in English is translated as sport.
A sport.
So I think we are well justified to speak about a sports meet.
Absolutely. And among those things that he did, we spoke about, I think last week we spoke about the killing of the snake, or the subduing of the snake,
Kalinga.
Kalinga. And there are other miracles which happen like that, other very astounding events which happened in Krishna's life. But Swami would say, among all of this, something which was very, very special was what Krishna, the bond that Krishna enjoyed, especially with the gopis. Mathura. I'm sorry.
Vrindavan.
I'm saying Mathura. It's Vrindavan, and before that, Gokul. So Swami would say that bond was very, very special. And one of the reasons when Swami would emphasize that is, it's probably one of the most misunderstood concept too in the life of Lord Krishna. And that is something which Swami would often reiterate. Swami would say that why we are misunderstanding this concept. And one of the things which Swami would refer to is, Swami would say that even the Srimad Bhagavatam says that when Krishna left for Mathura, when he had to go and indulge in that encounter with Kamsa and Chanura, we'll come to all those episodes later. Before that happened, he goes to Mathura at the age of 11 or 10.
11, yeah.
Right. That is what the Bhagavatam itself records. And if you're talking about all the pranks that Krishna played, those were all between the years of probably 8 and 11. And Swami would say, how can you bring a carnal angle to the play of a 10-year-old boy? And you speak of all the dance, the romancing which happened in courts at the banks of Yamuna. All of this has given a bad tinge to it. And Swami would say that is because of the polluted minds of the people who speak of it in that way. But in the true sense, it was something completely ethereal. You can't even talk of it as a child's play. You can't even talk of it as a little child, fascinating some of these elderly women. It is something else. It is nothing but a devotee being attracted to divinity. There is nothing other than that.
Rightly put. In fact, the way we interpret Rasa Leela is actually a reflection of our own inner self. Swami says, if you have Vishaya Vasana, if you have attraction towards the worldly, towards the desires, then you will look at it as something that is sensual. If you have spiritual aspirations, you will realize that it is a pinnacle of spirituality, where there is this Jivatma and Paramatma coming close together. I think it's best that we, before we discuss any further on the Rasa Leela, this most unique, most special sport of Bhagwan Krishna, something that all of us would love to be part of when we understand what its true meaning and import is, I think before we start discussing that, it would be best to hear about it in Bhagwan's own words.
Absolutely, and this is again a discourse which Swami gave during Krishnashtami, and this is the Krishnashtami of 1988, the 3rd of September 1988.
Krishnani gunamulunu aakarshinchi, aanandinchi, anubhavinchinatvantidi Radha. It was Radha who was attracted by the qualities of Krishna, who enjoyed the qualities of Krishna.
Krishnani yokka roopani chusi aanandinchinatvantidi Radha yokka chellalainatvanti Chandrakala.
Chandrakala, who was sister of Radha, only just saw the form of Krishna and enjoyed
Rupani aadharam cheskundi Chandra.
Chandra based all her enjoyment.
Rupani aadharanga cheskundi Radha.
Radha based all her joy on the basis of the qualities of Krishna.
Karukane gunamulu aadharanga cheskunnatvantide jeevita anandanni anubhavinchindi.
Radha enjoyed the joy and the delight of life because she based on the qualities of Krishna.
Ah, gunamulne chintistu vachindi.
She always reflected upon the qualities of Krishna.
Antuvallane deeniki Radha ani dharaku peru vachindi.
That is why this earth has got the name Dhara, and which is Radha.
Ah, Radhaku nirantaramu Krishna aradhane.
This Radha always spent her time in the worship
Aneka
of Krishna.
Anekamandiki telusunu. R-A-D-A. Radha ayipothundi.
All of you know the spelling of the word Radha, R-A-D-A.
R nunchi prarambham ayyapudu Radha ayipoyindi.
If you start this with the letter R, it becomes Radha.
A nunchi prarambham ayyapudu Aadhar ayipoyindi.
If you start from A, it becomes Aadhar.
D nunchi prarambham ayyapudu Dhar ayipoyindi.
If you start from D, it becomes Dhar.
A నుంచి మరి ప్రారంభమైనప్పుడు ఆరాధ అయిపోయింది.
ఇఫ్ యు స్టార్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లాస్ట్ ఏ
అనగా రాధకు ఆధారం ధార ఆరాధనే రాధ అన్నారు.
దట్ మీన్స్ టు సే దట్ ఫర్ రాధ ద ఎంటైర్ బేసిస్ ఇస్
నిరంతరము గాడ్ ఆరాధనే రాధ అని. ఎవరు దీన్ని చేస్తే వారంతా రాధలే.
హూ ఎవర్ ఆఫర్స్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ రాధ.
కనుక ఇలాంటి దివ్యతత్వాన్ని భాగవతములో అనేక విధములుగా కూడాను గోపికలకు గోపాలులకు బోధించి తన యొక్క ప్రేమతత్వం లోపల ఒక దివ్యత్వాన్ని అనుభవింపజేశాడు.
కృష్ణ ఈజ్ వన్ హూ త్రూ భాగవత ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ అండ్ మేడ్ గోపికాస్ అండ్ గోపాలస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ద డివినిటీ.
లీలలన్నీ కూడాను కేవలం అనంతమైనటువంటివి, అగమ్యమైనటువంటివి.
ఆల్ ద లీలాస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ఫాథమ్ దెమ్. It is difficult to comprehend them.
సాధ్యం కానటువంటి.
It is difficult even to describe them.
కానీ తుచ్చమైనటువంటి భావం చేత గోపికల యొక్క తత్వము, కృష్ణుని యొక్క చేష్టలు ఇవన్నీ కూడాను కొన్ని విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి భావంలో దాన్ని అనుభవింపచేస్తూ జగత్తునకు ఒక అప్రచారం చేసుకుంటూ పోయారు.
బట్ పీపుల్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ మీన్నెస్ హవ్ రాంగ్లీ అండర్స్టూడ్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ దట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్ బిట్వీన్ కృష్ణ అండ్ గోపికా అండ్
ఏరినటువంటి యొక్క అంతరార్థం ఏమిటి? హృదయమే బృందావనము.
వాట్ ఇస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద థింగ్స్?
మన భావములే గోపికలు.
ఆల్ అవర్ ఫీలింగ్స్ బి కంపేర్డ్ టు గోపిక.
ఆత్మనే కృష్ణుడు.
ఆత్మా బి కంపేర్డ్ టు కృష్ణ.
ఆనందమే లీలలు.
దిస్ జాయ్ అండ్ ద డిలైట్, దిస్ ఈజ్ లీలా.
ఇదే నిజమైనటువంటి హృదయ బృందావనము.
దట్ ఈస్ ద ట్రూ బృందావన్ ఆఫ్
కృష్ణ. ప్రతి మానవుని యొక్క హృదయం కూడాను బృందావనంగా మార్చుకోవాలి.
Transform every man's heart into Vrindavan.
నీ ఆత్మస్వరూపుడే కృష్ణుడిగా తీసుకోవాలి.
Consider your ఆత్మస్వరూప itself as Krishna.
నీవు చేసే ప్రతి పని కూడాను ఆ యొక్క గోపికా లీలలుగానే భావించాలి.
Every act you perform must be transformed into the leelas of Krishna.
It's so uplifting, it's so elevating, it's so beautiful when Swami puts it that manner. He says, you know, that play on word with Radha. Radha, Adha. Radha is one whose Arad is the Adha, whose Dhara of Arad is the Adhar for her. Support for Radha is her incessant flow of worship to Krishna. And that is the kind of feeling that existed among all the Gopikas. And the Rasa Leela, I think when it is pictured, it's pictured as a dance on the banks of River Yamuna on a full moon night, where there are dozens of Gopikas that are dancing, and each Gopika has one Krishna with her. It just shows that God is all inclusive. He's not exclusive. I mean, it is not as if somebody is closer to God than the other. Anybody who finds will get God. And God is available equally to all. That's why every Gopika had one Krishna to herself. So when it comes to God, we need not get possessive. We need not get exclusive. I mean, we need not seek exclusivity. So if at all we are seeking exclusivity, we are being fools. If at all we think that somebody is closer to God, somebody is not, again we are fools. Because exclusivity is a word that is to be excluded when it comes to God's dictionary, because God is all inclusive. In fact, I was reading another discourse, I don't have the reference to it.
Mm-hmm.
But Swami says the word Krishna has three different meanings.
Okay.
He says first is Karshati iti Krishnaha. Karshati means that which attracts. So he says that which attracts is Krishna. Then Swami says Krishyati iti Krishnaha. Krishyati means that which cultivates. And Swami says having attracted you towards him, he cultivates love and devotion in your heart. That is Krishyati iti Krishnaha. Then Swami says another meaning is Kushyati iti Krishnaha.
Mm-hmm.
One who delights and gives you bliss. So Krishna is one who attracts, who cultivates love in your heart and gives you that bliss. And I think the Rasa Leela is nothing but a very standing example of these three aspects or these three meanings of the name Krishna.
And absolutely. In fact, even when you're talking about Rasa Leela, I don't know if we have made it very clear for those who have not heard about this particular incident or this particular experience, which is very, very popular in the Bhagavatam, where, as Arvindu is explaining, where Krishna would come to the banks of Yamuna at the time of twilight and he would start playing his flute. And there are so many beautiful poems that Swami has written, where Swami tells one particular poem. This is like a very conservative village, right? Vrindavan is a village, and it's days of the yore where there were a lot of restrictions on the movement of women, in fact movement of everybody. You don't go out of your house after it's a little dark, and you don't go out without permission, without another company. But when Krishna would go out there and start playing his flute, all of these Gopikas would run out, you know, literally like that story of the Pied Piper, you know, where the moment they hear Krishna's flute, they could not stop. So there's one very beautiful poem that Swami writes, where he would say that the people in the house had very strictly told the Gopikas. The husband had told that, no, you should not go out like this. The mother-in-laws tell the Gopikas, no, don't go out after it's dark. The mothers tell, don't go out after dark. And the Gopikas, who were very good women and were very obedient in that sense, would agree to whatever advice would be given. But the moment they would hear that flute, it would be a meditative call. It would be something like
irresistible.
And Swami writes in that poem, he says, the husbands would clutch at their swords, the mother-in-laws would come rushing to slap them, or mothers would come and try to shut the door or something like that, but nothing could stop them, because when they heard that flute, they had to rush to the banks of River Yamuna. And there they would go, and there they would be this dance of ecstasy, literally, where Krishna would literally multiply into as many Gopikas were there, and they would dance till late into the night, as one of the Krishnas would stand in the middle and play lilting tunes on his flute. This was the scene of the Rasa Leela, and you know, whenever you talk of that, I'm reminded of that beautiful incident which happens in the life of a saint by name Narsi Mehta.
Mm-hmm.
And this Narsi Mehta, very popular saint in North India, he's supposed to be a devotee of Lord Shiva, not even a devotee of Lord Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So he meditates for many, many years on Lord Shiva, and finally he has the vision of Lord Shiva. And Shiva comes and asks him, what do you want? You know, you've done so much meditation, I'm so pleased with you, I want to grant you a boon. He says, what do you want? So Narsi Mehta, you know, probably the smartest thing to ask, he asks Lord Shiva, he says, give me something which is the dearest to your heart. What gives you happiness, you give me that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord Shiva tells him, there's only one scene which gives me true bliss. And he says, that is the Rasa Leela. And then Lord Shiva shows him the vision of Rasa Leela, of Krishna dancing the Rasalila. I think that's how special this event is. Because the very, when Swami says, when the feelings of the Gopikas in the Hriday Vrindavan, when they dance around this Atma, it results in Ananda. I think it's such a beautiful inner meaning of this entire event. Where Swami is saying, what happens to that devotee who centers all his thoughts around the Lord? The Ananda which he experiences, that is what the Rasalila really stands for.
And that Ananda is so immense that, like how it is often quoted, Mirabai, when she had to drink poison, she drank it gladly because the Ananda she was experiencing in being one with Krishna was so intense, so immense. She was ready to take the whip lashes, she was ready to take the tongue lashes, she was ready to undergo whatever physical pain because it felt like nothing in front of the bliss that was there. Here too, when you say the Gopikas, they're disobeying their mother, their mothers-in-law, their husbands, their fathers, everybody. It, you know, it only reminds me of what Swami would say as to, yes, mother is God, father is God, your guru is God, you have to treat your husband with respect, all that. But none of these relationships are above your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is supreme. And if any of these relationships try to turn you away from God or stop you from God, then they have to be given up. In fact, Swami says how Bharata gave up his own mother when she came between him and Rama. How Vibhishna gave up his own brother when he came in between him and Rama. And many examples like that. Prahlada gave up his own father when he came in between. You know, Swami quotes this and says, yes, these worldly relationships are to be respected and revered. And if they take you toward God, then they themselves become God. But if they stop you on your journey towards God, then you ignore them because God is supreme. And that's what happens. Because as you said, these Gopikas and Gopalas, they are... That's another thing, Prem, that I feel excessive emphasis is placed only on the Gopikas. The Rasalila is not an exclusive thing only of the Gopikas alone. It is all the Gopikas, the Gopalas, everyone. That is how we read it. But they say that it is only the Gopikas and you know, all these negative kind of thoughts arise. But as Swami points out, Krishna was 10 years old when he was doing this. How can you even think such things? The very fact that we are thinking this, thinking such things shows how low our mind is, that's all. That is why Swami says the way we interpret Rasalila is a reflection of our own self. You know, speaking of this, I was reminded of one of my classmates.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, his name is Govinda. I'm sure you might have met him.
Mm-hmm.
He had this big passion for running.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
You remember him, right?
He's in the army right now.
Yes, he's currently in the army. When he was here, he narrated something very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I might be going into a little detour, but I still want to narrate it. He was saying, you know, he said... I did not know who Satya Sai Baba is, you know, I don't know anything. When I was told that my uncle forced me and said you should join Sai Baba's college, he's from the Uttarakhand region,
mm-hmm.
the Daiva Bhumi it is called because it is a place where you have all the Chardham, the Rishikesh, the Badrinath, Kedarnath, everything. So he said, I have heard of so many Swamis, so many Babas. I thought this is another such Baba. But he said that I had no interest in any Babas, I wanted to join the army. His heart was set on the NDA, the National Defense Academy. He wanted to join there. But because he was forced and pressured, he anyway applied and he got the seat. It's very interesting. He said that when I got the seat, I saw some people crying and I asked them what happened. And they said that they had not got seat. I was wondering why are they crying if they didn't get seat. He was saying, I was crying because I got seat. I wanted to go back and apply for army. Now I got the seat. And I was wondering what they were crying about. Because when he... came for the entrance exam, it was in the summer in Puttaparthi, hot, and he didn't like anything about Puttaparthi. I mean, there was nobody. He said bhajans were something that I like, but I couldn't hear the bhajans. You know, those days, if Swami is not in Prashanthi Nilayam, there were no mic bhajans.
Right.
It would be only... So it was all very, very, very... You know, he was totally put off. In fact, he wanted to go back. His mother told you, stay for 2 months. If 2 months you don't like, then you come back. So just to fulfill his mother's wish, he stayed for 2 months. And I feel, see, that is, those are the kind of mothers that are worshipable, you know, who push you along the path to God. You know, Swami says if your mother takes you away from God, you'll give up your mother, hold on to God. These are the kind of mothers where I feel who are referred to when Swami says Matur Devo Bhava, when they push you along the path to God. So for 2 months he stayed in Vrindavan, and he says that because of the, you know, the strict discipline and regimen that is there in Vrindavan, he said that is the only thing that I liked, because it is similar to the army. So I was wondering, I said, but you know, because this Govinda has stayed for 3 years here, and he said, finally, he said that, you know, all the time when I was in Swami's army, he calls being a student and being in Prashantilyam as being part of Swami's army. He said, all the while I was in Swami's army, I wanted to be in the Indian army. Today I'm in the Indian army. Yes, it is an honor. It is wonderful. It is fantastic. But every night, I'm telling you, I crave to be back in Swami's army only, because whichever army you join in the world, there will be one void which can never get filled. That's what he said. And he said, I am happy in every sense, in most of the senses, but still there's a void that can be filled only when I'm part of Swami's army. It's ironic that when I was in Swami's army, I wanted to be in the Indian army. But now when I'm in the Indian army, I wanted to be in Swami's army. So I asked him, what was it that actually, you know, changed you? I mean, in the sense, you were very much against this place. What changed you? He said, one thing that has been a secret from everybody is my great love for Krishna. He says only his parents knew it. That's why his childhood name was Gopi. He says his name was Gopi, but while enrolling him in school, they just changed it to Govinda. So Gopi is the one that who embodies great selfless love for Krishna. And he says other than his parents, nobody knew it. He says after I came to Vrindavan, I would not participate in anything. I was not interested at all, except for the morning jogging and exercises, because that felt like the army. Then he said, every evening he would sit and watch everyone play in the grounds and do everything, but he would not participate. He says, one night he had a dream in which, again, he was seated and not participating in anything. He said, Swami came walking into the ground. And he was, oh, wow. He said that even in the dream, he's seeing Swami like that, and he was in awe. He had not yet had darshan of Bhagwan, and he was in awe of Swami. And Swami came close to him. And he says, as Swami walked into the ground, the orange on Swami disappeared. He became blue. The crown came, the peacock feather came, and he said that he saw Krishna. And he was so thrilled, and Krishna walked in. And he says, I saw the entire Rasa Leela. All my life I have not had a dream of this, I have not had a vision of this, never. Though Krishna is my favorite deity. He said, I had the darshan, and in the dream he was crying. And the only thought that was coming in him is, Krishna has come and he's doing Rasa Leela with the Gopikas, and I am also a Gopika, but I am refusing to participate. It is with this thought he woke up, and he decided from now on I'm going to, and he says that's it. With that one thing, his heart was pledged to Swami. Swami became his God, and he decided that I'm going to participate in everything because this is Rasa Leela. You know, when you were speaking about how Swami says every action of ours should be one Rasa Leela, that is the message that he received. This is way back in 2001 through this dream. He felt that whatever is happening in the hostel, in the ground, in the institute, is actually a Rasa Leela between Krishna and the Gopikas. I've got the chance to be a Gopika, but I am not participating. And that is what actually led him to wholeheartedly participate. And, you know, after that, he has received a lot also from Bhagwan. He has received a chain from Swami. He got an interview. He got to speak to Swami. It's a beautiful story in itself. That's a separate thing. But, you know, that's how close Swami is to Krishna. In fact, Swami, Krishna, there's no difference, because just the form is different. Everything else remains the same.
And absolutely, because in that clip which we played, you know, Swami starts with that. The Swami contrasts the two gopis. One is Radha, of course, whom we know is on the in the pinnacle of that ladder. And then he speaks of Chandrakala, who is supposed to be the sister of Radha. Where Swami says that even among Gopikas, there were some who were attracted to Krishna as a form, right? He must have been a very, very charming child. But there were some like Radha who transcended the form and were attracted to the gunas, qualities. Swami was saying, the qualities. So if we were to really go by the qualities, I think that is what it is. As Swami would beautifully say in one of his padyams, you know, he says, Ye gunam buganinchi tinchanu nadu. He says the same qualities with which the Lord came to protect Prahlada, the same qualities with which he came to protect Dhruva, the same qualities with which, you know, Sudama was lifted from poverty. Swami eventually, I think it's that 50th birthday discourse.
Correct.
You know, Swami says, you know, Satchidananda Murti Puttaparthi Shat Chakravarti, says, I have come again. So if you're going by the qualities, it's the same Lord. And that is why when Swami says about Vrindavan, it just reminds me, when Swami said Hriday Vrindavan, again going back to the 50th birthday, there was a commemorative volume which was produced by the hostel students. That time there was only the Vrindavan hostel. So Swami chose the different boys who would write articles for that.
Wow.
Right? And I mean, they were all, in our student parlance, they were all Maharatis. You know, they were all people who were so close to Swami in so many ways. So Swami chose who will write articles. And Swami chose a name for that compilation too. And the name Swami chose was Hriday Vrindavan.
Wow.
And, you know, really, Vrindavan is the place where, you know, when you're talking about Govind, really, that is a place where there's something in the air itself, you know, even in Swami's Vrindavan Ashram, that it makes you fall in love with Swami again and again. It's a very, very special place.
Speaking about Vrindavan and Krishna and Swami, I remember another episode that I had read about from the Radio Sai site itself. You know, there is this person called T.M. Soundararajan. He is a phenomenal playback singer. He has sung in the mostly Tamil industry, right, but also in the Kannada industry and Telugu industry for almost 6 decades. And he has given his voice to many veteran actors. So this T.M. Soundararajan was also a devotee. He passed away in 2013. So he is also an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, and he had come to Swami in the 1970s. This was in Vrindavan. This was the time when there was just that tree, and I don't know if the Sairam shed was there or not, but there was that tree with the Krishna statue there, and in front of the Krishna statue was Swami's chair. So Swami would come and walk around the tree. Half a semicircle would be ladies, a semicircle would be gents, and Swami would give darshan and then sit on the chair for bhajans. So when this T.M. Soundararajan was present, Swami came and Swami indicated to him, telling, you go and sing. You go in the front and sing. Because he's such a renowned singer. So T.M. Soundararajan slowly made, as Swami continued on his darshan, he slowly moved his way, went to the singer's area and sat there waiting for Swami. And Swami completed the darshan round, came and sat on the chair, and then looked at Soundararajan and told him, you sing now. So he began a song, you know, and in that song, he was referring, the song begins by referring to Swami as, you are like Krishna, you are like Muruga, you are like Shiva, you know. So he had sung about 10-15 seconds into the song. Swami told him to stop. And everybody was surprised what's happening, because there was absolute silence there, nothing else. And Swami has only told him to sing, and Swami has only told him to stop. And then Swami said, what do you mean by saying you are like Krishna, you are like Muruga? Who am I then? And it is the greatness, humility and spontaneity of T.M. Soundararajan that he said, oh, sorry, Swami. And he, you know, he on the spot changed the words to mean, Swami, you are Krishna, you are Muruga, you are Shiva. And this time Swami did not stop him, and the song went on and everybody enjoyed. It's so phenomenal, because when we also just say, you know, Swami is like Krishna, Swami is like Rama. It is not the truth. It's not the complete truth. It is not as if Swami is like Krishna or Swami is like Rama. Swami is Krishna, Swami is Rama. Vrindavan in Bangalore is definitely the same as the Vrindavan near Mathura, because it is the same Krishna who inhabited the place, possibly just during different times.
It reminds me of another song which Swami himself wrote, and I think we've quoted it so many times, Ananda Balude, Ananda Balude, which Swami has written, which means that Nanda Bala, or the son of Nanda, has come as Ananda Bala, or the child of happiness and bliss, and A Ramachandrude, A Ramachandrude. Okay, this is actually written by Swami, and we made it into a song, I think in one of our presentations, offering music offerings in front of Swami, we were singing this song. It was in the bhajan hall, and Swami stopped us midway. And Swami said, what are you singing? So we were like, Swami, it's a song written by you. It's Ananda Balude, Ananda Balude. And Swami said, what is that Ananda, Ananda? I mean, what will people understand by that? So we were a little perplexed, you know, because it was written by Swami after all. Mm. And we can't tell that to Swami. Swami, you've written it this way, when Swami is saying that it's not written properly. Then we were wondering, what is Swami driving at? Swami said, see, you are saying Ananda Balude, which means you are referring to one person. So whom are you comparing him with? Swami asked. So he has come again, you are saying. Whom are you comparing with? Who is your Krishna? Swami said. And the boys were sitting around. Swami said, "Swami, you." And Swami was like, "Yes, you have to tell that, right?" The way Swami said, obvious, it's so obvious, but why didn't you tell it? So instantly that song was rewritten and we sang it as Ananda Balude, Inanda Balude. And Swami said, now it's correct. Because people won't understand whom are you referring to. And Swami said, you should refer to Swami, in that sense. I mean, really, there is no difference. And that is why I think this particular Leela of Lord Krishna, I think whenever whoever speaks about it, the joy that it will give will be immense. But we as Swami's devotees, when we speak about it, it gives us a little more joy. Maybe we'll have to speak a little more about this, because there are some other interpretations which Swami gives, which is very beautiful and very important for us as Swami's devotees to recollect these inner significances that Swami speaks of. But probably we'll take a short break and we'll continue about this after that.
వాడవు కృష్ణ నీవో నీవారల మే మందరము దరి వాడవు కృష్ణ నీవో నీవారల మే మందరము నీ దివ్యాత్మ స్వరూపులే మేము మా ప్రేమాత్మ స్వరూపము నీవు నీ దివ్యాత్మ స్వరూపులే మేము ఆత్మస్వరూపము నీవు
Yeah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were talking about this beautiful episode of the Rasalila from the Bhagavatam. And we were saying that there are so many other important things which Swami refers to. One of the things is the analogy of Vrindavan being one's heart and the different feelings being the Gopikas and the Atma itself being Lord Krishna. The other aspect about this Rasalila which we refer to is Krishna multiplying and appearing as one for each Gopika. That was the other aspect of the Rasa Krida, which is very, very important. Before we move forward, probably we'll like to play for you a small clip from a discourse where Swami speaks about this, not particularly in reference to the Rasa Leela, but this Leela of the Lord, of Him appearing in different places at the same time, and what is the message that we need to take from it. We'll listen to this discourse. There's a discourse that Swami delivered on, I'm not sure of the date now. We'll play the discourse for you. We'll get back with the date at the end of the discourse.
The entire world is full of
electric waves.
At one stage, the electric waves will become permanent. The science students know this.
ఈ విద్యుత్ శక్తి తరంగములుగా మారిపోతుంది.
దిస్ ఎలక్ట్రిసిటీ గెట్స్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇంటు ఎలక్ట్రిక్ వేవ్.
ఏనాడో కృష్ణుడు ఒక చోట నుంచి అనేక మంది గోపికల ఇండ్లలో అంతా కూడా దర్శనమిచ్చాడు అని అనుకుంటాం.
వి సే కృష్ణ గేవ్ దర్శన్ ఇన్ ది హౌసెస్ ఆఫ్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ గోపిక.
ఒకే సమయంలో
అట్ ద సేమ్ టైం
ఒకే వ్యక్తి
వన్ పర్సన్ సేమ్ పర్సన్
అనేక విధమైనటువంటి ప్రదేశంలో దర్శనమిచ్చాడంటే అదంతా స్టంట్ అంటారు మన వాళ్ళు.
ఆల్ అవర్ పీపుల్ విల్ సే దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ ఎ స్టంట్. హౌ కెన్ సేమ్ పర్సన్ గివ్ దర్శన్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ ప్లేసెస్.
ఇది కేవలం పూర్తి అజ్ఞానం.
దిస్ ఇస్ గ్రాండ్
మూర్ఖుడు.
హీఈస్ అన్ అబ్సల్యూట్ ఫూల్.
ఎట్లనగా ఒక ఢిల్లీ లోపల అక్కడ ఏదో బ్రాడ్కాస్టింగ్ జరుగుతుండాలి.
In Delhi, there is some broadcasting going on.
One Prime Minister akkada maatladutunnadu.
Prime Minister is speaking there.
Kaani Delhi lo akkada maatladutunte prapancham anta radio lanta kuda vinipistundadi.
When Prime
Minister lanta kanipistundadi.
When Prime Minister is speaking in Delhi, you can hear his voice in all radio.
Okke samayamlo okke voice stutilayamlo emi tappatam ledhu. Okke vyakti inni pradeshamlo kanipistunte deenni etla nammutunnaru meeru ippudu.
How can you believe when the same person is appearing in the TVs in so many places and when the same voice is heard without any interruption, corruption?
Yantra shaktilone intu unte mantra shaktilu enduku undakoodu?
If so much of power is available in the machine power,
sarvatra untundadi ee yokka roopanamamulu.
This name and form are found everywhere.
Shariramu nasinchinappatikini aa shabdam lattane untuntadi.
Even after the disappearance of the physical form,
మధురంగా పాడేటువంటి వాడు ఘంటసాల.
ఘంటసాల వాజ్ ఏ గుడ్ సింగర్.
ఆయన మరణించి ఇప్పుడు 15 సంవత్సరమైన గానీ ఆ కంఠం ఇంకా రేడియోలో వినిపెడుతూనే ఉంటుంటాయి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ 15 ఇయర్స్ బ్యాక్ హీ డైడ్, స్టిల్ హిస్ వాయిస్ కెన్ బి హర్డ్ ఇన్ రేడియో.
కాబట్టి ఇది ఎక్కడి నుంచి వచ్చింది?
హౌ డిడ్ యూ గెట్ దిస్?
విద్యుత్ తరంగంలో చేరిపోయింది.
ఇట్ గాట్ మిక్స్డ్ అప్ విత్ ఇన్ ది
ఎలక్ట్రిసిటీ. సైంటిస్ట్ చెప్పినా చెప్పకపోయినా ఇది సర్వత్రము విద్యుత్ శక్తిలో ఉంటుండాలి.
వెదర్ సైంటిస్ట్ డిక్లర్స్ ఆర్ నాట్, బట్ దిస్ ఇస్ ట్రూత్.
కనుక ఈ యొక్క రేడియో శక్తి, యంత్రశక్తి ఈ విధంగా ఉంటున్నప్పుడు ఆనాడు కృష్ణుడు అందరి ఇంట్లో కూడా దర్శనమిచ్చాడంటే ఇది ఎందుకు నమ్మకూడదు? స్వామి మొన్న ఏదో హైదరాబాద్ పోయారంటే మెడ్రాస్ నుంచి జాబులు వచ్చాయి, బొంబాయి నుంచి జాబులు వచ్చాయి, ఢిల్లీ నుంచి. స్వామి టీవీలో మేము చూసామంటున్నారు, కానీ నేను హైదరాబాద్ లో ఉంటే టీవీలో ఢిల్లీలో ఎట్లా చూచారు, మెడ్రాస్ లో ఎట్లా చూచారు, బొంబాయిలో ఎట్లా చూచారు అంటే దీనికి ఏ విధమైనటువంటి కారణం? ఇది కేవలము ఒక విధమైన యంత్రశక్తి.
When Swami went to Hyderabad, let us receive from Delhi, Bombay and other places that they saw Swami in TV.
శక్తిలో దీనికంటే అధికంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ మంత్ర ఇస్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ యంత్ర.
మధురలో ఉన్నటువంటి కృష్ణుడు రేపల్లో కనిపించవచ్చును, ఇంకొక చోట కనిపించవచ్చును, హస్తినాపురంలో కనిపించవచ్చు, ఎక్కడైనా కనిపించవచ్చు. అయితే అక్కడ ఆ దివ్య భావం అనేటువంటి రేడియోలు వాళ్ళు పెట్టుకోవాలి.
ఇఫ్ కృష్ణ వాజ్ ఇన్ మధుర, హీ కుడ్ హావ్ బీన్ సీన్ ఇన్ రేపల్లె ఆర్ హస్తినాపుర.
రేడియోనే పెట్టి ఇది ఢిల్లీలో మాట్లాడుతూ ఢిల్లీ స్టేషన్ చక్కగా నంబర్ ప్రకారం తిప్పినప్పుడే ఆ ఢిల్లీ న్యూస్ కరెక్ట్ గా వచ్చేసేస్తుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ ట్యూన్ ప్రాపర్లీ ది ఢిల్లీ స్టేషన్ ఇన్ రేడియో, యూ కెన్ గెట్ న్యూస్ ఫ్రమ్ ఢిల్లీ స్టేషన్.
కానీ అక్కడ సరైనటువంటి ఒక నంబర్ లో మనం పెట్టుకోకుండా పోతే న్యూస్ రాదు, న్యూస్ ఏంటి వస్తుంది బర్ 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 బర్.
ఇఫ్ యువర్ ట్యూనింగ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ప్రాపర్,
ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ న్యూస్ యూ కెన్ గెట్ న్యూ సెన్స్.
అనగా ఏమిటి కనెక్టివిటీ? అదే కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ అనేటువంటి.
వాట్ డూ యూ మీన్ బై ట్యూనింగ్ ప్రాపర్లీ?
రేడియో
యువర్ హార్ట్ మే బి కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్. యువర్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ట్యూనింగ్
న్యూస్ సాక్షాత్కారం.
And the sakshatkara is correct news.
Ani kurchuntanu naaku chenchalam ayipothundi ekagrata ledu ante emi sariga tune cheyaledannamata.
If you say swami I sit down I have not been able to get concentration, it means there is something wrong with you.
Nee hrudayam lopala nee bhavam anetundi chakkaga tune chesinappude adi correct news vachesestundi.
If you properly tune your feeling in the heart then you get the correct news.
Kaani ee naadu చిత్తము చెప్పుల పైన ఉంటుండాలి, మనసు సమందరంలో ఉంటుండాలి, ఏం ప్రయోజనము?
ఇఫ్ యూ కీప్ యువర్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ఆన్ ది స్లిప్పర్స్ లెఫ్ట్ అవుట్ సైడ్ అండ్ యువర్ బాడీ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ది మందిర్, వాట్ ఈస్ ది యూజ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దిస్?
కనుక నీ మనస్సు బుద్ధి ఒకే చోట ఫిక్స్ చేయాలి.
యువర్ మైండ్ యువర్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ మస్ట్ బి ఫిక్స్ ఆన్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్.
కనుకనే మనం చదివేటువంటి చదువులు ఏమిటని,
వాట్ ఇస్ ది టైప్ ఆఫ్
స్టడీ,
వాట్ ఇస్ ది మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ స్టడీ?
స్టడీ మీన్స్ స్టడీ.
స్టడీ ఈజ్ మెంట్ ఫర్ గెటింగ్ స్టడీ.
స్థిరంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
You must be steady.
Ante gaani atu itu tirugutunte inga chaduvenduku manaku.
If there is that kind of wavering and movement, why
he wavering student anetundi vaadu examination lo kuda fail aipothuntadu.
A student who wavers fails in the examination also.
Kanukuni mana yokka nature, law of nature is steady.
Our law of nature itself is steady.
So I'm sure dear listeners that very soon Prem will give us the date of that
right,
discourse.
That, I think that discourse was delivered in 1992, the 27th of September.
Okay, so it is so beautiful because it becomes very clear that it is not just about God's grace which matters, it also matters about human effort. Both, in the sense that there is no need for us to feel bad that Swami, we missed you when you were in the physical form, we did not get interviews with you, because what actually matters in getting grace for us, like how Swami mentions about how different people have been able to get Krishna in their own homes, is the intensity of pining and yearning and the effort that we put in. And for that, steadfastness is so important. Swami said that you go into the temple, but instead of your focus being on the deity there, your focus is on the slippers that is outside. You know, when they say that you go to the temple for matters of the soul, I'm sure they meant soul and not sole. But if we are that distracted, there is no way for us to, you know, focus on God. I mean, let us look at our own lives, Prem. You know, when we go to a center for a bhajan, when we go for a Narayan Seva, when we go for anything, when we are doing a service activity, when we are doing things that we consider are we are doing it for Swami. I'm saying, you know, myself included, how many times, you know, we quickly glance at our mobile phones for a WhatsApp message that has come or a Facebook post that has come or anything, you know, for a different message, whatever it might be, urgent, emergency, whatever we may say, but we keep doing that. I mean, in the world today, the level of distraction has gone up so high and we feel that Swami is not responding to us. You know, this is one often, popular, if I can say so, popular complaint that comes to me as a question during different speeches or in the mail, that, you know, brother, for so many years, for so many months, I have been trying, Swami is not responding. I feel it very easy to put the blame onto Swami, but when we hear Swami speaking, we realize how has our efforts been. You know, a simple bhajan session possibly doesn't go by without us viewing our phone or viewing our thing or thinking something else. It's not only about viewing the phone. There's that famous story of how, you know, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa slaps Rani Rasmani. Rani Rasmani is the queen and he slaps her and says, why are you sitting here? Go out. Everybody is shocked. How can this person slap the queen of the place? And Ramakrishna says that only you are here, but your mind is now accounting that washerman what he did or some other thought. I don't know the exact detail, but it's her body that is here. The mind is not here. What is more important is our mind and soul be on mind and our whole intent, our whole focus, concentration be on Swami rather than just our body being present on Swami. And I feel that if we are able to really do that, we will never complain that we are yearning for Swami and Swami is not responding, because Swami says that Krishna, and I mean, when we sing Chitta Chora, Swami says Krishna's heart, God's heart is like that of butter. It's light just warmth, it will melt. But that amount of warmth is necessary. It will not simply melt and flow. Slight warmth is necessary, but it will melt even with the slightest warmth. So, definitely if we feel that God is not responding to us, it is because possibly there is something that we are lacking in our efforts and in our tuning. Because Swami says God's grace falls equally on all, like the rain that falls equally on all. If your heart, vessel of the heart is overturned, it's upside down, how much ever it rains, it's not going to get filled. You just turn it properly, then depending on the size of the vessel, the amount of water will get collected.
And I mean, how important a message it is for all of us, because, you know, the thing which Swami would often say is, you know, I've come to you in the form which is so lovable, I've come to you in the form which is so enticing and enchanting. But this is only to literally whet your appetite or catch your attention. Now it is up to you to try to tune yourself and make me come to you wherever you are. And the beauty is, many times when you listen to Swami's stories and miracles, I think the possibility of that happening is not very far from us. I think that is what Swami has left us with, or keeps reminding us, that don't think that these are all things which happened in the times of Krishna. It happened, Krishna appeared, there is a story of Narada going and he sees one Krishna with each one of the 16,000 Gopikas who are there in Dwaraka, and of course the Rasalila itself. Swami keeps on saying that it is not some distant dream which is not within your grasp, it is really very much possible within you. You know, that reminds me, there's one very, very fascinating story in Satyam Shivam Sundaram part 2. It's about a family, I hope I've got the name here. It's a family of one Mr. U. Ram Mohan Rao. And he was living in he was a superintendent of junior technical school at Manjeri in Kerala. Where he says, when Swami was in Venkatagiri, I think this happened sometime in 1964, Swami was in Venkatagiri, and one day this person and his family, he had a small daughter, they were sitting in their room, and one of the servants comes up to them and says, hey, there's some saint who is standing outside, he is standing at the door. So they all rush and see, and it's Swami standing there, right, in physical form, and they all go and prostrate at Swami's feet, and they're wondering from where Swami has come all alone. There's not an entourage, there's no car.
Oh, they know Swami.
Know Swami. Swami's picture is there in their altar, and so Swami comes and set the puja room, sits there. And Swami looks at his own photo and he comments something and he says something about the puja that the little girl is offering. And the best part is, then Swami tells them, are there any devotees around? You can call them, we can have bhajans. And this person runs out and there was no light form. Swami was there. You know, all the devotees from around who came, they saw Swami physically sitting there.
It's not that they had to fall at the feet of this devotee.
They did not have to take the word of this devotee who said that Swami has come. They all could see Swami, and this is a chronicled event. So when Swami says that he can appear in different forms, he need not appear in a form that only one select few, only the purified and the elevated can see. Everybody can see. And this is an event which has happened some 2-3 times in this devotee's house. Swami has appeared in a form. Swami has delivered discourses. They've all had interviews with Swami, and all his neighbors have seen Swami. And they've seen Swami walking out of his house and just vanishing. And this person writes to Kasturi, who Professor Kasturi is with Swami in Venkatagiri, and Swami confirms this. Swami said, yes, I had gone to Manjeri to give darshan to devotees there.
It's so beautiful, you know. Once again, the thing that touches me the most is Swami is not about exclusivity. It's about inclusivity. It can never happen that, I come there and only you are able to see me and nobody else will see me.
And stoke jealousy in everybody else.
Yes, everybody else is jealous, and therefore, you know, people end up worshipping the so-called priest more than the idol itself, and
I mean, that is, I think, Swami's real message. Why Swami is saying that each one of you should aspire for that. You know, either you come to me or you get me to where you are. Don't settle for anything in between. And that's the most important thing. And as Swami was saying, it's just about tuning yourself to Swami. And when you tune yourself, you don't have to, you don't have to be irrational about, how can Swami come? You know, Swami is taken samadhi. How can I see Swami? How can Swami come to my house? And how can Swami come and eat what I'm offering to him? And put aside all your rational. I mean, as it happened to the Gopikas, don't think that there's only one Krishna there and this Krishna is dancing with that Gopika. You just have to crave. That is all that you have to do, and that craving should give you the focus, and when that focus is there, he will come to you. I mean, that's the law. literally.
You know, speaking of Manjeri in Kerala and Krishna and Swami and the 1964, when you said all these things, you know, eerily they bring up another episode in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this happened in the 1960s only. Again, related to Kerala but not Manjeri, Calicut.
Okay.
And this is a person who I think many of us hear even today in the mandir, Shri Krishna Das Eradi.
Right.
And his name itself says Krishna Das, meaning a servant of Krishna. It shows that he was born in a family that is devoted to Krishna. And Eradi sir, he's into his 70s now. He continues to sing in the mandir. There were actually three brothers who sang for Swami, and their story is amazing, but I will stick to one part of the story. It was in 1960 when their father actually, you know, they also used to receive so many of these holy personages, holy people at their home, and his father happened to see somebody reading a book about one holy man, because that man was also in an orange robe. It happened to be Satyam Shivam Sundaram part 1, and he read that, you know, he read that and instantly attracted, and they came to Puttaparthi. So the father was like love at first sight. But the sons, especially Krishna Das Eradi, he was too loyal to Krishna. No, he was so loyal to Krishna, he just could not imagine himself worshipping any other. And the most beautiful thing about Swami, Swami appreciates loyalty. Swami never tells somebody, you stop worshipping that person and worship me. So he came to Prashantiniliam. The second time when he came to Prashantiniliam, he was really thinking, sitting in the bhajan hall, in the old bhajan hall, seeing Swami seated there on the chair, thinking that, you know, I can't give you my devotion and love because my heart is pledged to Krishna, Krishna. And, you know, he was going on thinking of Krishna almost like in penitence and repentance, like, Krishna, mm-hmm. if I made a mistake, by, I'm very sorry, I'm loyal to you, that kind. And he says, right there in front of his eyes, he said, the orange disappeared. He says the crown of hair went off and an actual crown came its place. There was that peacock feather, and he says that the most enchanting scene I have seen in my life. My Krishna sitting on the throne smiling at me and enjoying what I am singing. He says in an instant all my inhibitions were gone and I was crying and singing and pouring out my heart because it was my Krishna there. And you know, he says that my love for Swami came because I am convinced that this is my Krishna. And see, that I feel is another very, very special thing. Swami never tells us to shift. Swami says, I can't believe that Swami will come and tell that now I am in this new form. Stop worshipping the Satisai form. I am now in this form. Never, because to nobody Swami has stopped them from worshipping their own deity of choice. In fact, many have been the people who have received darshan of their own personal form of God. They have got convinced that Swami is that, and therefore they worship Swami. So Swami says, you continue to be loyal. As he says, I have not come to start any new religion. I want to make you a better person, a better devotee of the form of Godhead that you are loyal to. And that is how Krishna Das Eradi, you know, sir, Eradi sir, as we call him, became Swami's devotee. And from then he has been singing. In fact, he says he was thrilled because one of the first times he heard Swami sing, Swami sang Chitta Chora Yashoda Ke Bal. And since the little Krishna is his most beloved form of God, he was so thrilled. And it didn't stop at that. Swami came and told the brothers to sing this bhajan.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sang it, naturally this is their most favorite deity, and they're singing in the presence of the one whom they firmly believe is that same Krishna. So it was very soulful. In fact, Swami came and told them, next time you sing, why don't you add one alap also to that bhajan? And to this day also, though one of the brothers has passed away, the other brothers are still there, but they have aged. But even with that age, when they sing this particular bhajan with the alap, it moves all our heart. I think we should take out a few minutes here and listen to this one bhajan as rendered by Eradi sir, because this is something that Swami would love and ask them to sing very often. And it is another incident of how, which shows that Swami is not bound by space and time and any dimension. He can come anywhere, he can go anywhere, and he is all inclusive.
Yashoda Ke Bal. Go!
Welcome back, dear listeners. And that was the bhajan which we have heard so many times sung by Radhi sir and in Swami's presence. I mean, literally with so many young singers, so many good singers in the Prashanti Mandal Bhajan group, I don't think anybody can match the
passion
volume,
and the
right? and the voice that he has, which
power.
Can fill the entire hall. And that's one of the reasons why he's one of those few singers, because many, many singers used to sing along with Swami's students over the years. I think the Eradi brothers are two who have really, Swami has permitted them to sing starting from the 1960s till the very end and till today. Even now, yesterday also he sang a bhajan in the morning. They're always there. And talking about Swami and Lord Krishna and Swami giving the experience, it reminds me of another experience which I think I promised I will narrate the last time we were talking about Bhagavatavahini.
You are very sincere in your promise. Okay.
Right, and you are just the opposite, because I asked you to remind me and you've not reminded me.
Okay.
Right. I think this was the episode, the first part of the episode was when Swami asked all the devotees to make garlands with tulsi
leaves. Yes, I remember the tulsi ball. Yes,
right.
Correct.
Tulsi leaves, and Swami asked them to make a garland which was exactly to Swami's height. So all of them tried and all of them failed. I think we spoke about this when we spoke of Yashoda trying to
tie Krishna, measuring, who can measure, yeah.
Right. So that was one of the incidents where everybody started making garlands, and they actually took measurement of Swami's height, but never could they make a garland which was perfect to Swami's height, either it was longer or shorter. But Swami himself made a garland which was like perfect to his height. But the long and short of the story is, at the end of it, they had a huge heap of tulsi malas. And they all turned to Swami and said, Swami, what do we do with all this now? We have literally, emptied one garland of tulsi and tulsi vritavan, and we have a huge heap of tulsi malas. So Swami said, okay, I'll tell you what to do with it. And Swami started telling them, you bring all the malas to me. And Swami started tying all the malas together, like how you make a ball.
I think rolling
even,
them.
Right, even when we were kids, we used to do that, either take a cello tape and make a ball out of it, or take small papers and make a ball.
Put it into one sock and then...
Right, and all kinds of things. So Swami was doing something like that. He started tying these tulsi
garlands
together and making a huge ball of tulsi leaves. And at the end of it was a ball the size of a football, right? Swami said, now we have a football, so let's play with it. And Swami started playing different games, like, one of the games that you used to have is a monkey ball. That's what one of the devotees say. One person stands in between and there are two groups.
And they keep throwing ball, and you have to try to intercept the ball.
And should we add that even there Swami said ladies on one side and gents on one side. Swami ensured he did that. And Swami started playing, and Swami was throwing balls to them, throwing the ball to them. At the end of it, they were all so very tired. They were very happy and excited, of course. But they were tired, because most of them, I think, must have been past the middle age, right? So at the end of it, Swami said, we'll go back to Mandir now and let's have food. So when they went back, one of the devotees apparently came up to Swami and told Swami that, Swami, we enjoyed so much today, but why were you throwing the ball only to me? There were so many other people, they all would have felt bad. And hearing this, the other devotees came and said, what are you saying? Swami was actually throwing the ball only to us. And we were feeling the same, that why isn't Swami playing with the others? And then when they started speaking to each other, that's when they realized that each one of them felt that Swami was standing there and all of these other people are standing and being onlookers, and Swami is throwing the ball only to them. And then eventually when they realized that all of them had the similar experience, Swami said, you mad ones, you didn't realize what you actually experienced. What you experienced was a version of the Rasa Krida, that each one of you felt that you had a Swami for your own self. So when we picturize Rasa Leela, we think of, how the painters, how the artists portray it, in the paintings, where there is one Krishna and Radha in between, and there are Krishna and Gopikas, and Krishna and Gopikas in different. But actual experience of it is like this. Probably each one feeling that they have a Swami for themselves, not necessarily seeing multiple Swamis, but that feeling that my Swami is my own. My Swami is here only for me, and I am the most important person for Swami. Now when we think of it, how many of us have really felt that? You know, we might not have been in the middle of an experience like this, but how many of us have really been given that feeling by Swami that I am the most important person for Swami? I think in some way, Swami has given us a glimpse of what that Rasleela is.
Absolutely, and I feel that is the special exclusivity, if I can call so. Not the exclusivity in normal terms. It's all inclusive, yet exclusive. This is so sweet to experience, but complicated to understand. You know,
right.
Swami is never exclusive, because this feeling of exclusive, it is not as if Swami is not exclusive. You get that feeling of exclusivity, but everybody gets that feeling of exclusivity. That's why I say that it's neither exclusivity nor inclusivity. He's all inclusive in the fact that everybody feels exclusive. As you rightly said, each one of us at different points in our time feel that Swami is all ours. You know, cutting this a little brief, I remember when for years I kept one card with me which said that you are my best friend, and I thought of giving it to different people, and I met with disappointments, I had heartbreaks, I had heartburns, different things. Finally, I realized that how stupid I have been, because the only being worth being my best friend is Swami himself. So I decided to give that card to Swami, and it was the time of Christmas in the year 2008. So vividly I remember it. On the 24th of December, I said, Swami, I'm going to give this to you. And that is what I had planned. And I, stroked over the previous name written there and wrote it to Swami and wrote a letter with that, everything. And I said, Swami, every time I've tried to give it to somebody, I have met with only disappointment and pain in my heart. Today I'm going to give it to you. Today only you have to take it. I don't know care how, but today you have to take it. And later I realized that it was perfectly the wrong day to choose, because it was the 24th of December 2008. That is the day when the overseas devotees put up their choir. They sing on the eve of Christmas. The Kulwant Hall was full. And as Swami came out, you know, he was on the chair. As Swami's chair was being pushed, Swami just refused to take letters from anyone. The entire ladies side done and not a single letter collected. And I thought, oh my God, why did I choose to put this challenge on this day? You know, I could have waited 3 days and then tried to give it to Swami. But, you know, a word once said is said. In my heart, I was feeling that, Swami, all said and done, you are the one who inspired me to say like that. So I don't know how, but you must accept this card. You must accept this hand of friendship that I'm extending. As Swami neared me, amazingly Swami looked at me and said, what, is that your wedding card? I got up and went near him and I gave him the card and I said, no Swami, it's best friend card. Swami took the card. I was so thrilled. Then Swami went on the dais. By the time he went to the dais, other than this card, he had two other letters. So Swami just opened and began to read those letters. He finished them like in 20-20 seconds each. And then he tried to open the card and I had put sellotape all over. You know, I had stuck so that it's very secure and it's very personal, private, confidential. So Swami was struggling to open it. And he finally looked to the boy who was sitting on his side and gave it to him. And I felt, oh my God, if only I had not put all those sellotapes, maybe Swami would have seen my card also. But then Swami told that boy to open and give him the card. And Prem, it was a 4-page card. You know, it was actually a card which said 101 reasons why you are my best friend. And there were actually 101 reasons listed out there.
Mm-hmm.
And on that day, you can see the footage for that day, Swami sat reading every one of those 101 reasons. And Swami would keep reading the card. He'll look up when the song gets over and Swami will say, "Ha, okay, next song." And as they start the next choir song, Swami would again go back into the card. I'm sure that many people on that day would have cursed whoever gave that card to Swami, because Swami was not looking at them. I don't know how others felt, but Prem, on that day I really felt in my heart, I just felt that Swami has come down on earth only for my sake. Swami, so means on this Christmas day when there are thousands sitting and waiting for a glance from you, you give so much importance to the feelings of one heart. That one episode is enough in my life to feel so exclusive to Swami. And the amazing thing, as I said, is you ask anybody, everybody has one incident like this where they have felt most exclusive. And that is where the inclusiveness comes. Yes, Swami is very exclusive, very personal, very private, very intimate. But that happens to everybody. In that sense, he's all inclusive. So this kind of amazing, you know, paradox, I think only God can do, where he's exclusive and inclusive at the same time.
I mean, what more joy can we have, you know, when you talk about Lord Krishna's experiences? Many times, you know, I think we mentioned it so many times when we're talking about Ramkatha Raswani, and Swami would also say this, you know, thanks to artists like Ravi Verma, we all have a certain image of what is divinity, what are the various episodes which happened in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata, in the Bhagavatam. But when we correlate it with such events which Swami has himself played out in Swami's life, and we have the benefit of going back to them and referring to them and recollecting them, we realize that it's much, much more subtle than that. As Swami was giving that example of how you're able to see the person who's giving a lecture in Delhi in your home in the form of a television, Swami says that, you know, after all, a yantra can achieve it. After all, science and technology can achieve it. Don't you think God can achieve it? I think that's that confidence. That's the confidence which we have. And in another place, when Swami is talking about how the interaction between Krishna and Gopikas is misunderstood, in one of those discourses, I think again in early 60s, when Swami was saying, Swami said the first and foremost, the most important prerequisite before you start talking about the life of Lord Krishna, or for that matter any avatar, is to start from the point of faith. The moment you say that this is God and this is God's actions, the way you will understand them will be completely different. It's contrary to what the world would like to, you know, the approach the world would like you to take, where you observe and you scrutinize and you rationalize and then you say, hence proved, this is God. Swami would say, no, it doesn't work like that. And talking about that other incident, which is again spoken of as very controversial, where Krishna comes and he steals away the clothes of the Gopikas, Swami was narrating about that incident, and Swami said this very beautiful point. He says the Gopikas were not ordinary people. They were rishis. They were maharishis who grabbed that opportunity to be around Krishna in the form of these illiterate village maidens. Right? And so Swami narrates of that incident where Krishna comes and takes away all the clothes. And the Gopikas look at Krishna and say, Krishna, is this dharma? Is this the right thing to do? You're doing, adharma by taking away the clothes of women who are having bath. And apparently Krishna replies, he says, I am not doing adharma. What you are doing is adharma. And then Krishna explains that, don't you realize how great you really are? It is an adharma for you to stick on to body consciousness. He says, I have come to remove that adharma from you. He says, I am the Atman who has come to remove the adharma of body consciousness from you. And Swami is saying, this subtle belief will never come to your understanding unless you look at Krishna as divine. So that faith is probably the most important thing. So I think bringing that to our own experience, when we say that I am praying, Swami is not coming, and I am seeking and Swami is not coming, and I need a solution, so I am going to so and so. I mean, it starts from that faith. Believe that when you call, Swami will come, and he will come, because that's the rule of the game.
On that note, dear listeners, I don't think I've got anything else to add. It has been a wonderful satsang, thinking about Krishna, thinking about Swami. After all, they are one and the same, as I said, come in different points in time. We are grateful to Swami for this wonderful opportunity to think about him. As the clock in our studios show 2 o'clock, we bring this satsang to a close. We will end with a song, on the other side of which, as always, will be the segment Love to Love. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
చేసరా ఆది కవిగా మారి రామచరిత వ్రాసరా రామ రామయను చుబోయ స్మరణ చేసెరా, ఆది కవిగా మారి రామచరిత వ్రాసెరా, కృష్ణాయని పాంచాలి స్మరించనుగా, కృష్ణాయని పాంచాలి స్మరించనుగా, అక్షయమౌ వలువలతో రక్ష పొందెరా.
గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద.
లేనిది తులలేనిది హరినామమురా, హరి కరుణను పొందగలుగు సాధన వినరా. వెలలేనిది తులలేనిది హరినామమురా, హరి కరుణను పొందగలుగు సాధన వినరా. కడలి వంటి ఇడుములన్నీ కరిగిపోవురా, కడలి వంటి ఇడుములన్నీ కరిగిపోవురా. ఒక్కసారి శ్రీహరిని తలచి చూడరా.
గోవింద శ్రీహరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీహరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీహరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీహరి గోవింద.
హరినామ స్మరణమనే నామ నడపరా, భవసాగర తరణానికి రాచబాటరా. హరినామ స్మరణమనే నామ నడపరా, భవసాగర తరణానికి రాచబాటరా.
గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీ హరి గోవింద, గోవింద శ్రీ హరి.